Not sure where that is, go to the middle and open up. Amen. How many of you truly, truly, truly appreciate the Word of God? So many times, especially here in America, we take the Word of God for granted. We do. We have many times more than one copy of it. I've got many, many copies on my shelf. I quit having, in my preaching Bibles, I quit putting my name on them because when the Lord leads, I give them away. I did it for a while, had my name printed on there. I said, well, I'm going to hold on to this one, but it never seemed to hold on to it. But we have the privilege of having something so precious and something so powerful. And tonight I want us to talk and look at the purity and the power of God's Word. Can you say amen? Psalms 119 verses 140. Thank you for being here tonight, by the way. Thank you for your faithfulness. You can take a breath. Everything's all right. Amen. Y'all are very quiet tonight. Reading one verse of Scripture. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your holy and precious name. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the revelation. We thank you for the help and the hope and the strength your word gives. We thank you for how powerful the word is in our hearts and our lives. Lord, this is a Sunday night crowd, so we know these things, but God, Lord, let us be reminded tonight, Lord, that everything that we need, that you have promised, we can find in your word. Speak through your servant tonight, God, and I pray in just a few moments in the altar call, God. God, that we will stand upon the promises of your word. That we will claim and receive the promises of your word. And Lord, that needs will be met by the power and the promises and the purity of your word. And we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And all God's people said, amen. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. I like Webster's dictionary, their definition for the word pure. It means it's unmixed. It's unmixed with any other matter. It's free from what weakens or pollutes. Well, that's a good definition. Containing nothing that does not properly belong. It's pure. And the Strong's, according to the word pure, it means refined. It's cast, it's proven true, it's tested. Now, if you've been around very much and you've seen the soap, the Ivory soap commercials, they do a lot of different marketing schemes, but one of their biggest marketing schemes is this. They claim to be 99.9% pure. Can you say amen? There's a lot of things that claim to be pure in our day and time. From water to what purifies our air, to some of the quote-unquote food we eat, to some of the possessions we buy. But there is nothing, absolutely nothing, as pure as the Word of God. Can you say amen? Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, and it was talking about the relationship between husband and wife, but he correlates this with the Word of God and his church. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, he says, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. How was Paul talking about that God was going to have, that Jesus was going to present his church before the Father and to himself? How was the church supposed to be holy and without blemish? By the washing and the regeneration of water by the what? The Word of God. That's how powerful the Word is. Psalms 12, verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Psalms 19, 8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That word pure means clean, clear, sincere. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. So we see by the promise and the power and the declaration of the word itself, his word is pure. It is by the purity of the word of God that once it has been studied, once we have read it, and once we have especially applied it to our lives, it shows us how that we can also be pure in our heart. Pure in our soul, pure in our mind, pure in our body. That's when we apply that word to our heart and our lives, when we begin to live according to the word of God, that's when the power of the word is realized and released in our lives. Can you say amen? This word is very, very, very special. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1, beginning of verse chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, listen to what it says, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, that first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We mentioned this morning, and I guess that's what led us here tonight. This word is so special, it's so powerful, it's so pure. It was written over a 1,600-year time span. There's over 40 different authors of this book, but it was inspired by one Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? It was finished writing at the end of A.D. 100 thereabouts. In other words, it got completed in the writing 1,900 years ago. But it's still just as powerful. It's still just as relevant. It's still just, it has its effect on us today as much as it was when it was penned. Can you say amen? It was pure from the beginning, and it has been tested. It has been tried. It has been made true time and time again, and it's still relevant today as it was when it was first penned. I want us to look tonight, and we're going to do a little acrostic on the word pure concerning the word of God. P, the word of God is powerful. Say powerful. Now let's the rest of us say it, amen. It's powerful. Y'all gonna have to wake up tonight, amen. It's powerful. If Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. It's effective. That word powerful means it's effective, it's active, it's alive. It separates between our intellectual and our spiritual. It shows us where our hearts are at. Can you say amen? This word will show you where your walk is with the word, with the Lord. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 tells us this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. The gospel, the good news, it is the power of God. It's the strength. That word power it's talking about, it is the dunamis. The power that comes from within. It is the power of God unto salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This word is powerful. Can you say amen? How much power does the word have? It has power to save us. Again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It has power to deliver us. It has power for us to show us how to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It has power to change lives. It has power over anything and everything that we face. It has power to bring healing to our lives. It has power to show us how to come into God's presence. It has power to strengthen us. It has power for us to have mountain-moving faith. It has power to encourage us. It gives us power to be able to pray. It gives us power to be able to believe. It gives us power to keep the devil at bay. Can you say amen? When Jesus faced the devil in the wilderness, when he was after he was baptized, what did he How did he do it? He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. It was powerful for Jesus to keep the devil at bay, and it's powerful enough for you and I to keep the devil at bay. It gives us power to show us how to live. It gives us power to show us how to have eternal life. It gives us power of how to keep our finances in order. It shows us the power with which to be a witness. It gives us the power to endure. And it gives us the power over sin. Can you say amen? Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalms 119, verse 11. This word of God is powerful. Can you say amen? But to experience the power of the word, the word must be read and applied to your life. We must walk in obedience to the word. And as we read it, and as we study it, and as we apply it to our life, that's when the power begins to be released and realized in our life. Can you say amen? It's powerful when it's applied to our lives. Let me share with you a couple of little illustrations, true illustrations. Many years ago in Moscow, in a Moscow theater, a matinee actor named Alexander Rostovez was converted while playing the role of Jesus in a sacrilegious play entitled Christ in a Tuxedo. He was supposed to read two verses from the Sermon on the Mount, remove his gown and cry out, give me my tuxedo and my top hat. But as he read the words, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He began to literally tremble. Instead of following the script, he kept reading from Matthew chapter 5, ignoring the coughs, the calls, and the foot stomping of his fellow actors trying to get him back on track. Finally, recalling a verse he'd learned from his childhood in a Russian Orthodox church, he cried, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Before the curtain could be lowered, Rostozev have trusted Christ as his personal Savior through the power of his word. He said, my word will not return void, but it will accomplish to the thing whereunto I've sent it. When evangelist John Wesley, who lived from 1703 to 1791, was returning home from a service one night, he was robbed. The thief, however, found his victim to have only a little money and some Christian literature. As the thief was leaving, Wesley called out, stop! I have something more to give you. The surprised robber paused. My friend said, Wesley, you may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 7, chapter 1, verse 7. The thief paused and then hurried away, and Wesley prayed that his words might bear fruit. Years later, Wesley was greeting people after a Sunday service when he was approached by a stranger. What a surprise to learn that this visitor, now a believer and as well as a successful businessman, was the one who had robbed him years before. He said, I owe it all to you, said the transformed man. Oh no, my friend, Wesley exclaimed, not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin and the power of his word. There's power in the word of God. His word is powerful. His word is unique. The word unique means being without a like or equal. It is unequal. There's never been a book like this book that you and I hold in our hands or in our tablets or in our phones today. It is the all-time bestseller. No other book has been tried to be done away with more than the Bible, and yet it still survives. The book was for those in the Old Testament. It was for those in Christ's time, and it's still relevant for you and I today. It is still as effective now as it was then, once it is applied to our life. No other religion, no other religious writing can even begin to compare with the holy writing of scriptures. I've used this before, but I like to use it again. It's from one of my study books I took years ago called The Prophetic Light. It shares this. The Bible, God's divine book, the sacred word of Christian faith, differs in many ways from the sacred writings of all other religions. But there is one fundamental difference. The difference is in the fact that the sacred books of all other religions have not one word of prophecy or prediction of future events. While the Bible is full of such predictions, Some which have already been fulfilled, others are in process of being fulfillment in our day, and still others to be fulfilled in the future. Fulfilled prophecy and attested miracles constitute the twin pillars which uphold the structure of the inspiration of Scripture. All the other religions, their sacred books, the Quran and all those other sacred books of all the other religions, have not one word of prophecy. But yet our word, the word of God that we have, is full of biblical prophecy. And those prophecies, many of them which have already came true, are you still with me tonight? Let me give you a little bit more from that prophetic life. The intricate interrelation between the details of prophecy and the rapid increase of the ratio of probable fulfillment as details are added. It can be illustrated by the warp and roof, in other words, the crossing patterns of thread in fabric, in which every thread of the warp touches every thread of the roof at right angles. In other words, every detail of a genuine prophecy has a distinct relationship to every other detail, all of which makes the fulfillment so complicated. There are 333 details in the prediction of Scripture concerning the person and career of Jesus the Messiah. The fraction of probability in this case would be expressed by a half to 333% of the power, or one half multiplied by itself 333 times. The result of this mathematical problem will give the fraction in round numbers of 1 over 840 quadrillion to 97 zephyrs. Now, 840 quadrillion, you say that is, Brother Doss, is that a number? Yeah, I looked it up today. You look it up on Google. You can find everything on Google. What's bigger than a trillion? Quadrillion, quintillion, sextillion, it gets on up there. But I said, what's a zephyr? I was going to talk to Larry because he knows everything about math. A zephyr is an algorithm. It's an algorithm. It is a mathematical equation in order to be able to figure out the probability of a number. In other words, it's not only 1 over 840 quadrillion, but there's 97 zephyrs. In other words, there's 97 other different equations that go along with that. That's the chance that everything about those 333 prophecies that were fulfilled about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the chance that all those had the chance of coming true. And every single one of them did. Can you say amen? What makes us think that if all the details in the prophetic cries of his first coming was so accurate, what makes us think that all the other prophecies are not going to come to pass? They are coming to pass even as we speak. Can you say amen? The word of God is true. It's powerful. It's unique. It's accurate. Can you say amen? The Bible tells me what has been, what is, and what will be. We see prophecy again being fulfilled more than at any other time except for the birth of Christ. There is no other book like it in the world because it is the truth. He says, forever your word is settled in heaven. His word will accomplish where it is sent. The Bible says, you know, the thing about it, we love Pentecostal circles, but the thing about it, too many times we are straight reaching out after the signs and we don't hold to the word. The signs don't confirm the word, but the word confirms the signs. Can you say amen? The Bible says, and God confirmed his word with what? Signs following. God confirmed his word with signs following. But the word also gives a very, very, very stern warning. See, the thing about, listen to me, church, tonight. Jesus said our relationship with him is determined how we live according to that word. He says, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. If a man loves me, John chapter 16, look it up. If a man loves me, he will keep my word. He that does not love me will not keep my word. But it also, his word also comes with a very stern warning. It's not up there, Emily, but I want to just share it with you. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life from the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. I'm going to read that again. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. He says we can't add anything to it and we can't take anything away from it. He said if we try to add to it, guess what? He says, I'm going to add to you the plagues and the things that were applied in this book. I don't want those kind of plagues. How about you? But if we try to take anything away, if we try to water this thing down, if we try to make this thing lighter than it is, then God says, I'm going to take your name out of the book of life. Somebody better write the Methodist Church and put those scriptures before them. Come on, somebody. Somebody better write some of these user-friendly church and let them see that scripture. Because they're walking in very, very, very dangerous territory. Come on, somebody. I want to hold to the word of God. Because it is the power of the gospel. See, the word, we can't bring God down to our level. The word tells us how we can come up to him. And the Bible says his words are not grievous. Can you say amen? Come on, somebody. Oh me, amen. Uh-oh. I didn't write it. It's in the book. I'm glad God has to take care of all those things. See, we've got to. That's why our life has to line up with the word. But when it does, then the power and the promises and the blessings come right along beside it. Can you say amen? Are you with me tonight? There's no other book like this book. It's powerful. It's awesome. The book is truly one of a kind. It's truly unique. It's truly unequal. Are y'all still with me tonight? Some of y'all still wondering about that in Revelation. You can look it up yourself. Hello. The book is real. It's not artificial. It's not fake. It's not false. Church people are looking for something that is genuine, something that is real, something that will work, something that will truly satisfy, something that will truly help. And the Bible is real. Can you say amen? The Bible is real. It has real answers for real people. With real solutions. It can handle real problems, has real power, gives real direction, provides real help, gives real hope, gives real guidance, provides real peace, gives real satisfaction, shows us the way to real love and the way to real joy and to real peace, brings real contentment, shows us how to gain real strength, shows us how to have real life, gives us real examples of real people. It is the real truth because it's real. It shows us about a real Savior and tells us about a real heaven, but warns us about a real hell. Can I tell you, it's real. And the more it's applied to our life, the more real it becomes to us. Can you say amen? I've not been serving the Lord as long as some of you, but I've been faithfully preaching this gospel for 25 years, and the more I dig into it, the more I study it, the more real it becomes and the more precious it becomes to me. Can you say amen? Because it's not a dead book. It leads me to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It's real tonight. Can you say amen? It's an everlasting and eternal book. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 says this. Jesus said, "For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." It's an eternal book. Till heaven and earth will pass away. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Psalms 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. His words shall not pass away." Jesus was speaking in John chapter 6, and he was talking to his disciples. He was talking to a lot of other people. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were there. A lot of his disciples were there. Not just the 12, but many other followers were there. And basically Jesus was telling them that he was the bread of life. And his blood was going to be given for the salvation of the world. And he says, whoever so eats of my body and drinks, eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood, I shall abide in him and he in me. But if you don't eat of my body and drink of my blood, I'm not going to be in you. Very unusual thing happened. The Bible says in John 6 that many of his disciples, not the Sadducees and the Pharisees, many of his disciples said, you know what, this is a hard saying. Who can bear it? And we know Jesus was not talking about the physical, he was talking about the spiritual. They knew that. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, what if I tell you that I'm going back to where I came from? He said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. This word is spirit and it's life, Jesus said. And something happened. The Bible says many of his disciples turned away and followed him no more. Why? Because of the words that he spoke. Many of his disciples. Didn't say Jesus ran after him. Instead, the Bible says you look back at the 12. John 6, I believe it's 68. I believe that's up there. He asked him, the verse previous, he says this. He said, will you leave also? Guys, you going to go? Are you going to head out? Are you going to be offended at the word? You know, Peter made a lot of blunders, but man, sometimes he made a right saying. Amen? But Simon Peter answered him, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go, church? He has the words of eternal life. They were the words of eternal life then, and guess what? They're still the words of eternal life today. In September the 30th, this year has flown by. The last day of September in 2018, they are still just as real as when he spoke them. Can you say amen? They are still the words of eternal life. They are still more relevant today. I believe they're more relevant today than when they were penned. Because we see more of the fulfillment. His words are still the only words for eternal life. They are still eternal. They are still everlasting. They are still forever settled in heaven. Closing tonight. Through the purity of God's word, we experience his power. Through the purity of God's word, we experience his promises. Through the purity of God's word, we experience his presence. Through the purity of God's word, we experience his person. Through the purity of God's word, we experience his provision. Through the purity of God's word, we experience him. We have relationship. Can you say amen? In Matthew 5:8 says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Can you say amen? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Psalms 24, verses 3, 4, and 5. I love this passage. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a what? Pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. How can our hearts be pure? How can our hearts be pure? How can our hearts be pure as we live in this old sinful world? By holding fast and living according to the purity of God's word. Can you say amen? Our text says, your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. And lastly tonight, when the enemy came after Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus had not eaten anything for 40 days. The enemy said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus makes a very powerful statement. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The power of this book is amazing. The purity of this book is still true. My question tonight is this. What do you need in your life tonight? What do you need in your life tonight? This book has all the answers for every need. If you need healing, this book says, call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If you're burdened down and worried and tired and weary, Jesus said in his word, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Pastor Dawson, just going through a lot right now. I've just got a lot on me right now. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Brother Dawson, I need a physical healing. I need an emotional healing. I need a physical healing. He says, I am the God that heals you. In the Old Testament, he says, by those stripes, you are healed. In the New Testament, he says, by those stripes, you were healed. And the greatest need that all of us have, most of us have received it, is salvation. And this book tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And this is the part I like. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder how many whosoevers we got here tonight. Tonight when I opened up in prayer, I said, God, I pray we just stand upon the promises of God's word. God will confirm his word. Listen to me. It's awesome. God will confirm his word with signs following. That's what he does. So what is your need tonight? Pastor Dawson, I need wisdom to handle a situation, to make some decisions. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. That's what his word says. God loves us enough to give us the answers we need. This is awesome. He loved us enough to give us the answers we need long before we ever needed them or even knew we needed them. Can you say amen? What is your need tonight? What is your need tonight? It's kind of like we talked about this morning about leftovers. This book was completed 1900 years ago. But the power of this book is still prevalent and relevant today. They can still, through Jesus Christ, heal. But you just got to get a hold of it. Can you say amen? Father, tonight in Jesus' name,